this Sunday, probably more than any Sunday, while we're saying I trust you, I'm trusting the Lord for the sermon and just that the Lord is going to speak during this time. I feel like the Lord's given me kind of what direction, but I'm just not sure on the parts in the middle. So we're going to be in Judges 13. We're going to trust that the Lord is going to speak. We're going to trust that as we open up God's word, that we're actually going to hear from him, that he's going to pierce our hearts. So I want to talk about the Spirit of the Lord beginning to stir, okay? And we're going to be talking about Samson a little bit, and then we're going to weave into something else as well as part of that story. So Judges 13, but before I get going, I need to pray. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. God, I thank you for truth. I thank you that we know the way. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God, thank you that we belong to you. Father, thank you that we've been placed in Christ and are seated with him in the heavenly places. God, I ask Jesus that you would be strong in weakness. God, we boast in weakness that Christ's power may rest on us. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it's living. Thank you that it's active. God, thank you that this sermon is not about me. Lord, that you can speak even through a frail, empty vessel. And I thank you, God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Judges chapter 13, we're going to be talking about Samson a little bit. And as I think about Samson, I don't know if you know the story, but Samson is an unlikely character in the Bible. I mean, the guy was strong, he was ripped out of his brains, and he used his muscles to serve God. You know, there's not a lot of people who use their muscles to serve God, but Samson did. He used his strength to serve God, and that was God's answer in that time, was to send his spirit on Samson and to make him supernaturally, physically strong to accomplish his purpose. Amazing. And Samson really did some weird things and really some stupid things. Like, Samson is not a man that you emulate your life after, okay? But the amazing part in this is that even throughout the story of Samson, God used his stupid choices to glorify his name and to accomplish his purpose. That is good news. Thank God. You know, that God's going to accomplish his purpose. His kingdom is going to come. He's going to establish his church. He's going to rule and reign. And he's going to use us even though we're so stupid sometimes. Amen? Like, we need to worship God just for that. How does he do it? He's God. He's God. He can do anything. Even use stupid people like Samson. Maybe that's a little too strong, but, it's true. It really is. So let's read Judges 13. It's a few verses, but you need to kind of hear the scope of this to kind of understand where we're going. So Judges 13. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. I want to stop there, okay? The people of Israel, God's people, God's chosen people, again, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. It's like they've been here before. If you've read the book of Judges, you see this terrible cycle where the people of God, when they had godly leadership, would follow God, and God would use that person, and God would accomplish his purpose. But as soon as that leader would go away, they would just all like sheep wander away, each to their own ways. So the people of God, again, it was evil in the sight of the Lord. So God gave them into the hands of their enemies, the Philistines, for 40 years. That's a long time. I mean, that's a generation almost of people that they all they knew was the Philistines. You know, the Philistines are in control. And it's because God pushed them to the place. God gave them over to the Philistines. God sent them to their enemies because he had a purpose in it. So they did what was evil. God sent them away. Verse 2, there is a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. Now, beloved, you need to know that this story happens again and again in the scripture. And this verse, this idea happens again and again in the Christ life where God chooses the empty things. God chooses the things that have nothing. God chooses the things that have no hope, no life, no strength in themselves to glorify his name. This is how God works. He chooses the nothing. So this is good news. He chooses the barren places to accomplish his purposes. Verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore, be careful and drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razors shall come upon his head, for this child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. You know what's incredible about this is in the Old Testament, again and again and again, we see shadows of Christ. You see, Jesus was the deliverer, but Samson had a part in that, a shadow of what Jesus was going to fully do, but Samson was going to be called to deliver the Israelites. Verse 6, then the woman came and told her husband, a man of God came to me and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God. Very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from. He did not tell me his name. But he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. So then drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean. For this child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. So essentially, this child that was going to be born, God's answer to that generation at that time was that person, that son was going to be Nazarite. From the very beginning, he was going to be set apart for the work of God. And beloved, that's something that translates through all time. That translates into our journey as well. If we are people of God called according to God to do his purpose, we are first of all called to be set apart. We can't be like everyone else. By the way that we talk, by the way that we live, by the habits that we have, we're called to be set apart. God doesn't use dirty vessels to accomplish his purpose. He calls them to be set apart first. Verse 8, then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we are to do with this child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, behold, the man who came to me on the other day has appeared to me. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life and what is his mission? I love that. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink or eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. I want you to know this. Didn't answer the question. You see that? Manoah's like, okay, God's going to do something. We're all excited. I want to hear this also. My question for you, angel of the Lord, is, okay, what is the manner of life that he should live, and what is his mission? And the angel of the Lord essentially said, everything that I told your wife, yeah, do that. Now here's where we are. Oftentimes when God's going to do something, we have this sense that God's going to do something. We're like, okay, that's great. Amen. Bless the Lord. We're excited. But we need to know in what manner and what is the mission, and we need to know all the lists and this and this. And do you know what God says? You know that thing I called you to do at first? Just do that. Just do that. You've already heard what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be set apart for me. So do that, and I'll take care of the manner of life, and I'll take care of the mission. Is that crazy? Ah, we want all the answers. That's why that whole I trust you, God, is really hard to pray and actually live out, because that means that even though we don't know the manner of life, even though we don't understand the mission, even though we have all the questions, we know the step, we know how we're supposed to walk, and we're called to just walk in it. God's going to fill it in. So the angel of the Lord does not answer Manoah's question. Verse 15, Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "If you detain me, I will not eat of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know that this was the angel of the Lord. Like, you need to know that this wasn't just an angel. This was an angel of the Lord. Explain that in a little bit. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, this is verse 17, "What is your name? So that when your words come true, we may honor you." And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" Verse 19, "So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, to the one who works wonders. And Manoah's wife was watching. And then flame went up towards heaven from the altar. And the angel of the Lord went up in the flame to the altar. Now Manoah and his wife were watching. They fell on their faces to the ground." Isn't that awesome? So they're preparing this burnt offering, and flame is going up. And the angel gets caught up in the flame, goes to heaven. Oh, amazing. Verse 21, "The angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die, for we have seen God.'" There's debates on this, but I believe that oftentimes in the Old Testament that Jesus shows up. And they say, "We've seen God." Not just an angel. They knew they were talking to an angel, but they thought they were going to die when they saw God. So here's Jesus showing up, calling forth a person, calling a human being to accomplish his purpose on the earth. Unbelievable. Thank you, God. So anyway, Manoah and his wife, they think they're going to die. We're surely going to die. We've seen God. Verse 23, "But his wife said to him, 'If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted our burnt offerings and grain offerings at our hand, or shown us all these things, or now announced to us such things as these.' And the woman bore a son and called him Samson. And the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him." Now, verse 25 is where I want to live for a little while. "And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanaim between Zorah and Eshtaol." Awesome, huh? So we're in a time when everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. People were just living their lives however they way. This was the spirit of relativism that we see in this day. This was carried out there. Everyone's just doing as they pleases. And God, you need to know, never gives up. He never lets people run away too far before he sends a solution, where he has an answer for a generation. And he doesn't come down and strike people from lightning or throw a sign up in the sky. Do you know what he does? He calls forth a man. He calls forth a woman. He puts his spirit on them and sends them out with the mission of God. And this is the cycle, you know. You see, we always drift away from God as a society, as individuals. Like, this is where our flesh takes us away again and again from God. And God always intervenes in that story. God always has a plan, and God always breaks the cycle. Amen? Amen. God always breaks the cycle. It's unbelievable. So, like I said, 40 years under Philistine rule, and God shows up, Jesus shows up, and he is going to raise forth a deliverer. He's going to put his spirit on a man named Samson, this unlikely character, unique in the Bible. And you know, one thing I think that's interesting is that we think that Samson's this guy who's just ripped out of his brains. And you know what? I don't think he was. I think he looked like a normal man, because the question was, where does he get his strength? It wasn't because he's bubbly and huge. If he was ripped out of his brains, they would know where he got his strength. He works out. That's where he gets his strength. But the question they always had is, what is his secret? Where does he get his strength? So here's Samson, this ordinary guy who has supernatural strength accomplishing God's purpose. It's because God gave him strength. Unbelievable. So here it is. He's at the beginning before his story kind of takes place. And verse 25 said that the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him. So before he began to do anything, the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in his heart. I want to sit on that a little bit this morning. And what I've been thinking about is this. There are times when God speaks loudly. And in Scripture, we see that when an angel of the Lord shows up, you know? Like, I think God's doing something here, you know? The angel of the Lord's here, you know? Like, crazy miracles are happening. He's up in the flames going up to heaven. He's speaking for God, and you know God's speaking. But oftentimes, it's not this overt, in your face, powerful, majestic way. It's in a whisper. It's like verse 25, when before things played out in his life, it said that the Lord began to stir, the Spirit began to stir in his heart. That's when God began to speak to Samson what his manner of life was to be and what his mission was to be. Isn't that amazing? Manoah asked for that. But God's answer wasn't there. It was when God began to speak to Samson's heart. He began to move in him. He began to stir him. He began to place what his manner of life was and what his mission was. And beloved, that's how God works. He begins to stir in hearts. He begins to speak to us and to begins to tell us the things that he's going to. It's not always loud. I think of the story of Elijah. This is First Kings 19, and he is running for his life. He is afraid. This is First Kings 19:9. It says, he came in a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel, forsaking your covenant, thrown away your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I'm the only one left. Verse 11, he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke into pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Do you know where the Lord was? And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Is that incredible? Beloved, we so desperately want to hear the voice of God loudly in our lives, where it's so obvious that not only we hear it, but everyone in the room hears it. You know, like it's on billboards. That's what we want. I heard someone say, God, pray this way, you know, like, God, show me what I'm supposed to do. Show me your will. Make it so obvious that even blind people could see it. You know, like just make it so apparent what I'm supposed to do with my life that you don't even have to be alive to hear it. Beloved, that's not how God works. Sometimes he shows up and it's unbelievably obvious and clear and apparent, but most of the time the Lord stirs. He moves in hearts. He whispers to us the things that he's going to do. And you know what? It's just as miraculous. It's just as supernatural. And it's just as true. Isn't it incredible? The Lord begins to stir. And do you know what I love about this? Is that it happens before it actually happens. God's always speaking before he does it. He's always speaking before. God isn't, you're not going to wake up one day and just boom, all of a sudden do what God's calling you to do. He's going to start speaking to you before. That's who God is. Isn't that awesome? Because he wants to do it with you. So he begins to stir in our hearts. He begins to stir in our minds. And beloved, what I want to encourage you to do is that each of us, if we are in Christ, if we have confessed with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, if we are saved, if we've been rescued, if we are God's people, then guess what? The Holy Spirit is in us. And do you know what? We have ears to hear the Lord. And each one of us has a purpose, a God-given purpose for this life. It's not just to make money and live and die and go to heaven. No, we are called and invited into the army of God, and he has a purpose for you. And because he has a purpose for you, you're not going to just wake up one day and do it. He's going to begin speaking to you what that is. He's going to begin whispering to you. And do you know what? Some people are going to have public ministries and things that they're doing. Most of us, however, are going to do life away from the spotlight, but it's just as significant, just as important. And do you know what? God's calling those things forth. He's going to begin whispering these things. I remember when God began to stir in my heart that I was going to be a pastor. And I'm not going to tell the whole story, but you need to know that when I began to think that, I was like, oh, God, I don't want to do this. But it was just the whispers. I just sensed God whispering to my heart, one day you're going to do this. Oh, please, no, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. And do you know what's amazing is that as the Lord whispers, if you're willing, he'll change your heart. He will make you desire those things, the very things that God's calling you to. And I remember when I began to actually say it out loud, and this was when I was in college, I began to tell some friends, I think the Lord's going to call me a ministry. And you know what? People laughed at me because I could not talk in front of people. I could not do it. I would shake. I was a mess. Talk to Rachel. She's seen it happen. I mean, I couldn't speak. I was a mess. Like, I feel like Moses. And you know, when Moses is called by God and Moses is like, please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. It's not because he didn't want to do it, but it was because I can't talk in front of people. But I you know what the God was stirring in my heart? You're going to talk in front of people. You're going to tell people who Jesus is. I'm like, please. I can't talk. I need someone else to go with. But God began to whisper in my heart, you're going to do this someday. And I think it happened. And you know what happens when you get to know the whisper of the Lord and you walk and you're obedient to it, and all of a sudden you begin to see it happen? You begin to trust the whisper. You begin to trust the Lord that, oh, he is speaking to me about something that he's going to do. And you begin to put stock in that voice and trust that if it's from God, he's going to do it, even though it is absurd sometimes and even though it is so unlikely. It's kind of like Manoah's wife, who was barren, couldn't have kids. But the angel's like, you're going to have a child. Not only a child, but I'm going to use this child to deliver Israel. And you trust the voice. Amazing. So one of the things you need to know about the whisper of God is that God speaks purpose and calling to your life by beginning to whisper to you through the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we're quick to discount that voice sometimes because we haven't learned to trust the voice of the Lord. So before we get in, what you need to know is this right here. Can I be honest? You just need to start here. Because the voice of the Lord never lies. The voice of the Lord never contradicts what he's already said. So if we're going to know and trust the voice of the Lord, we have to first know him. And do you know what? As we know him, and you can trust the voice because you know the word, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring this to life. So as we move in and walk out the things that God's calling us to do, he's going to talk to us about things he wants to do through us. And beloved, this is so exciting. You know, it's not just pastors and missionaries who are called, right? It's Christians. Christians are called. God's going to call you to different places, different neighborhoods, different jobs, different locations. He wants to do certain things in your life. Maybe it's not even a specific place. It's like a specific task. Maybe it's specific people. God's calling you to minister to specific people or do specific things. He's going to whisper it to you. And you're going to need to trust and obey. And obey. What manner of life shall we live? And what is the mission? And you just start walking it. So I think this is so profound. And it's so beautiful. I thank God for the whispers of heaven. For the voice of God that says, this is the way, walk in it. You know, so God is going to tell us, give us purpose, give us calling. And beloved, we're experiencing that as a church. You know, like the whispers of God. What is God wanting to do here? And if I'm honest, you know, like if we look purely in the physical sense, there's no way. There's no way. But with God, all things are possible. So as we hear God begin to speak, these little whispers, you know, like we play it up against the word and we say, amen, yes. Yes, let's do this, God. We trust you that you're going to do it. And our job is to be faithful and walk in obedience. So we see God and how he gives us purpose. He gives us calling in life, but also direction. Beloved, we have the gift of praying when we need help. You know, if we need wisdom, we can ask God, give me wisdom. You know, and oftentimes we walk and we're trusting and we're just praying, God, show me, show me, show me. And you're listening to that voice, that little check in your spirit, that okay, how do I navigate this? I love this verse in Isaiah 30 that says, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I love it. This is the way, walk in it. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever asked for that? God, I want to walk with you. I want to obey the path that you have for my life. So God, give me ears to hear so I don't just walk, you know? Guide my steps. Guide my steps. But you know what? He doesn't force himself on you. He doesn't say, go this way. You know, like you have to, sometimes he kicks you. But you have to go willingly. So the picture I always get is whatever that is, you hold that out here, and you are in communion with God. God, I trust you with this decision, this burden, this choice that I have in my life, and I'm going to walk because I need to keep walking, and I'm going to be in communion with you. I'm going to be seeking you. I'm going to be spending time with you, and I'm going to trust that if I'm going the right way, you're going to affirm that. You're going to give me peace, and if I'm off, that you're going to lead me back, you know? If I'm supposed to go left and I'm going right, that you will hear that voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, you know? This is part of the Christ life. We have the Holy Spirit, you know? The Word says, you know, Jesus says that my sheep know my voice. But this isn't weird. This isn't people talking. This is, the Lord starts stirring things, and you begin to know and trust that voice as he gives us direction. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as our helper, as our comforter. And we can't be dismissive of him, even though we don't understand him fully. The scripture says that he's our teacher. He is going to bring to remembrance everything that Jesus said. Beloved, I want to encourage you, as we begin to walk in the things that God is calling us to do, that you'll have eyes to see and ears to hear. Does that make sense? The Lord's planned it to be in partnership. I want to go back to Samson. The Lord began to stir in his heart. This is the manner of life you're supposed to live in, and this is the call and purpose I have for his life. And you know what? He did stupid things, as we said, and God used it. And for us, he's going to talk to us beforehand, and our job is to listen and obey. Listen and obey. And beloved, can I encourage you to trust the voice? But do you know what the scripture says? Test the spirits. You know, don't walk blindly. You know, just because you hear voices in your head doesn't mean that you should listen to it. Good God, we'd be in trouble, you know? But that's why we have the Word of God. That's why we have the church. And that's why you have the Holy Spirit to give you discernment. Does not the Word say, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you? James says, you don't have because you don't ask. So if you're like, God, I think I'm supposed to walk this way, but I'm not sure, then ask. You know, like that's the gift that we have in the Lord, is that we can ask him. God, I want to walk with you. I want to be used by you. God, lead and guide my steps. Stir my heart so I know what you want to do, so that I can have confidence that this is from you. And not me making stuff up. Miguel, do you want to come up? I want to pose this question just as we move into a time of kind of closing worship. What is God stirring in your heart? What is God stirring in your heart? And maybe you know what that is. You know God's been stirring something up. Like, you're just like, you can't sleep at night because you're just like, it feels like God's haunting me with this. And maybe you haven't gone as far as to say God is doing this because you've been dismissive of it, because how could God say that to you? How could God want to do that in your life? What I want to encourage you to do this morning is to ask the Lord if that's from him or not. And if it is, to help you to see it. And then that you would be faithful to walk in it. That you wouldn't say no to God because it's so absurd. What is God stirring in your heart? What's around the bend that he is preparing you for? Maybe it's a life that he's going to call you away from because he wants you to walk this way. I don't know what it is. But I thank God that this isn't a relationship that's one-sided. Beloved, I'm asking the Lord that he would stir in your heart, that he would show you what he is that he wants to do in your life. God, I pray that we would be able to discern what is from you and what is our flesh, what is the voice of the enemy. God, protect us from listening to the voice of the liar. God, I thank you in the scripture. I think of when you say, he who has an ear, let him hear. God, give us ears to hear what you're doing and what you want to do. And God, I thank you that you stir hearts. And God, we're inviting you to stir our hearts. Amen.